Okay. So I just wanted to share, though, something that's been on my heart. We've been talking about, because we've sort of been, the season. It was interesting seeing the breakthrough season and seeing the logos. Some of you might have already noticed that we actually have changed our logo, or, you know, not drastically changed it, but just sort of modified it this year. How many noticed that? And it was like, oh, I never even noticed it. How many have things like that that's happening and, you know, you're oblivious to it? And, you know, you're still seeing the logo from 30 years ago and, oh, we have changed, haven't we? You know, things like that. So, can we go back? Can we show that the one before, that the rectangular one, which we've been, that one there. So that, you might be very familiar with that, breakthrough. I like that. There's some symbology in there. I don't know whether you realize. I see that as a chain link breaking in the breakthrough. We're breaking the chain link. I'm not, you know, that's how I see it. It's, and breakthrough. Well, we talked about Caleb. He's really got a great eye for design, Jordan, some others, and we're talking about it. And he said, can we make some adjustments to reflect the heart of breakthrough, which is family friendly? And so we, rather than, because that's harsh and cornered. And so we went to something which a little bit softer, and which represented us. We're family, we're friendship, you know, we don't have the sharp corners, we're softer and nicer. Look at the person next to you and say, you're soft and cuddly. you're just a soft, lovely, cuddly person. This logo suits you. Just tell them that. This logo represents you. I can see you in this logo, all cuddly and nice. And but it just sort of it's made us think a lot about what God's called us to do. You know, logos and everything aren't what you do. They represent and reflect what God's done in us. And unless you have what's in the heart of it, you know, logo means nothing. But so we've prayed a lot about what God's called us to do and made ourselves very busy doing that and pursuing that. And one of the things that God has particularly called us to do is to disciple together, to make sure that what we're doing is pursuing our mission of discipling, and to do that mission together. And in fact, the very first service in 2022, God gave me a real prophetic understanding about, you know, how Jesus sent the disciples out two by two, and, you know, two, and literally, you know, just sent them out by twos. And that's a symbol. God intended us to do this journey together. How many are grateful for that? How many think that's wonderful that we can do this together? And as part of that, we do what we can to encourage and give opportunity for people to do it together, not just people sort of do this Christian walk alone. So we have, you know, obviously Sundays we come, we open up the foyer beforehand. You know, you notice we've got a big foyer in this church. That's on purpose, to encourage people to fellowship and to be together. You know, how many remember churches years ago used to come in? There was no such thing as a foyer, effectively. It was a little, tiny little room, and then you're in the church. And then you come out of the church, and the pastor's job was, he would always go first. I remember growing up in a church. It was not a Pentecostal church. It was more of a bit more traditional. Thank you, Caleb. We're going to just sort of bounce a few ideas off here and talk together through this. And at the end of the service, the minister would always, you'd know the end of the service had happened, because he would walk down the aisle, and he'd go down there first, and then he would stand at the door, and every person that went out got hands shook by the pastor. So that was pretty special. You don't get that.
I remember the last time you shook my hand at church.
So maybe I should stand at the door and...
All in favour for that today, for pastor? Yeah. He's not allowed to move till every person has left the building.
Now, see, that worked in those churches because people would put their roast on, all right, in the morning, knowing when the service would finish, and they would be home to have the Sunday roast. You know what I mean? And so the pastor was pretty much there to get them out. Enough, goodbye. And then, you know, then things started happening, like people would hang around a little bit afterwards. Well, you just send them out to the car park. You just do it out there, you know what I mean? Yeah, turn the lights off, everyone out in the car park, you know. And then people started to say, oh, can we maybe have a drink? Or, you know, and think, you know, coffee started to happen. They didn't know where to do it. So you used to have the church hall, and you'd go around the back and they'd have the urn and things like that. You go to the church. And then people realize, you know, we love the service, but we actually really love connecting and growing together. And so that little foyer has grown into a place where we on purpose make a space for people to connect together. And after the service, we make a space. Why? Because we don't enjoy it? No, because we are doing this journey together. And it's not just about us connecting with God here. It's also connecting together and having the life of God work through us. So I love the fact that we honor on a Sunday see ministry. One of the best things I see and enjoy is, you know, coming and seeing people in group together praying for one another out there. You know, because that's really a part of my vision. That's one of the reasons I don't stand at the door and shake your hands. I might do it today. Because it was all about, I needed the pastor's handshake. If you're going through a problem, the pastor would know. Do you know what I mean? And so it would be like, shake everyone's hand and how's the cat doing? If you found, you know, how's the elbow, you know, praying, how's, you know. The pastor would sort of have to know everything about everybody. And if you had a prayer need, that was the spot you went to. The pastor, he was, and I was like, you know what? As good as, I believe I am, I can't be the life for everybody. And I love it when I go out and I see people gathered around and sharing and praying for one another. Because I'm thinking, it's like hundreds of me now can be multiplied. You can all be pastors shaking hands and ministering and blessing and bringing that life. And it's like a team of pastors is now being loosed in. And the best part about it is I'm only in one place here. And on Sunday when the door's shut, there's another 6 days. But if you're all ministering together, that goes on beyond the seventh day under every day. And that's my vision and my dream, but it's not a dream and vision like I have a dream. It's just been shaped by God's vision and God's plan. That's what his plan has always been, about ministering together and flowing together. So we provide places where that can happen. So we have the foyer, we have the services, we create online spaces, but we also very purposely create spaces where you can come together in smaller groups and get to know people a bit more openly, a bit more intimately, and learn to minister to each other. And we call those life groups, where groups do life together, but they learn to develop relationships. So we're thinking about that particularly because in Breakthrough, what we do, our format or our model is that we run life groups in 2 semesters, the first half of the year and the second half of the year. And we have life groups that will continue beyond those semesters. You know, people build relationships and they connect. In fact, we've got 2 life groups like that at the moment. The Lovely Ladies. Yeah. I'll do that again for the Lovely Ladies. Yeah. And then we have the Families of Faith. Oh, come on, guys. This is your chance to shine here. And they are ongoing life groups that, you know, don't just sort of stop after the semester and continue. And they're there to develop and grow relationships as we disciple together and grow together as disciples. But then we also have a life group which is just going to run for that semester and has a sort of a start and a finish point. And so, for instance, we ran one of those last semester, Josh Dobie. Who Josh's group? I have to sort of shout loud because 2 of the members of that are in Colombia at the moment. I heard them. Yeah, we. In fact, I can tell you how much they really connected. You know, Chris and Liz, who are Colombian, they're back visiting family and friends in Colombia, and they would get up at 4 a.m. in the morning to do the life group with us by Zoom. Every 2 weeks they would, because we do our life groups fortnightly. Every 2 weeks they would get 4 a.m. You know what I mean? So it's like some people, you know, I'm like, well done. You know what I mean? they really got connected into that life group. And so that life group started and finished. But in fact, Josh, went so well, we're going to repeat that life group for, it's going to start again because it had a purpose. Josh's life group was to work through the process of learning to minister and flow in the prophetic. And so it was actually a course, and people sort of walked through. So you sort of had to start at the start and develop through it. I actually did it. I went. Josh was the leader, but I was actually a part of it, and I really enjoyed it. And it actually helped me, and I grew through that. So Josh is going to repeat that. So anyone who wants to join in from the start can do that. And I thought you were going to say something. You had that. I'm about to add something wonderful.
Did I? No.
Carry on. And so if you're already part of a life group, well, you already know you've got great life groups there. You're already connected. If you're not part of a life group, you can maybe join in with Josh's. But Christine and I are also going to start a one-semester life group. So this is not an ongoing, but if you're not part of a life group already, this is your chance to maybe come in, get a little feel. And ours is going to be based around a book that Christine has just been raving about, and I'm so excited. She said, you should read this book. And I said, I want to read this book, but you know what I want to do? Let's do this as a life group. We're going to walk through the book called Ruling Your Day, and it's got six lessons about how to rule your day. And I've heard about it. I've seen the chapters, you know, and I'm saying, but I purposely didn't read it because I want to actually do it as part of the group. So each fortnight, we read a chapter, come together, discover that, and work together through the semester. So that's what Christine and I are going to lead about Rule Your Day. And so I'm really excited because I'm purposely going to I'm going to discover it as we go through. As you know, this is not something where I've got all the expertise and I'm going to tell you my wisdom and amazing insight. I don't know. I'm going to do it with you and become part of this journey. So if you're not part of a life group, we're starting that in this semester as well. So that gives you an opportunity to get into every fortnight to become part of growing together and working together. You know, because that's discipling. We do it together and it makes sense. So did you have any comments there? Because I've made you just sit there and look like, just nod and look sage and like, what amazing wisdom you've got there.
I did.
Because I had a whole lot more I was going to share. I thought, but I better give you a chance. Otherwise, it's just like, you know. Hey, people, if you know how, want to see how good I am, I'll have someone up here sit and nod and say, well, that's really good, you know, just in case you're not sure. Or maybe he's been pulling faces like, I don't know what he's been talking about.
Well, I don't know how to follow that. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. All right. Let me share you something, Caleb.
How about you share, because we're doing this today as Dad so eloquently shared so perfectly that it doesn't need anyone to add anything to it. Obviously, did anyone recognize it was yesterday? The day before was the first day of the second half of the year. That sort of happened and I didn't even notice. But so it's a new semester. So it's a new semester of life groups. So it's a great opportunity for us to talk about life groups. And as Dad shared there, he can talk for a couple minutes about, well, we could talk just about the life groups and what they're doing. But he's going to share a concept, I think, from the book of Job, which speaks to the concept of, I suppose, why we do life groups and specifically how we view them. So he's going to share that, and yeah, why don't you do that?
So I was talking to Caleb. I mean, two things been on my heart, been obviously thinking about life groups and doing life together, but God's also been taking me quite a journey through the book of Job. It's been something just become a passion. I've just been studying and reading it, you know, and it started because I really wanted to see covenant and understanding covenant through the Bible. And Job talks about, you know, there's talk about the curse, you know, the whole purpose of Job was to try and get him to curse God, but instead he refused to that, and he, you know, stayed in the blessing. And blessing and curse is covenant talk. Anytime you sort of see curse and blessing, that's sort of is into. So I was very interested to relook at the book of Job through the eyes of understanding covenant and relationship. And but in doing that, I just became fascinated again with this really unusual book in one sense. It's like. And it's just so wonderful that God includes things like the book of Job, because the book of Job doesn't fit neatly into a whole lot of thinking. In fact, if you're not familiar with it, I'll just do a one-minute overview where Job was a very righteous man and wonderful man, and God and the devil had a conversation, and God said, you've seen Job? The devil says, well, he's only good because everything's going so well for him. And eventually what happened is the devil was able to decimate Job's family, his wealth, and then his health. And so he was sick full of, you know, like oozing sores from head to foot. Can you imagine that? That's a terrible sort of picture. And he was, and his wife basically said, give up, Job, you know, just curse God and die. And he says, I will not do that. Yeah, and he, and for all the men out there, he used this amazing line. When she said that, he said, you speak as one of the foolish women. He didn't call her a fool. He said, you are speaking like foolish women speak. Very wise. But he said, that's how the foolish women speak. I'm not going to do it. So he refused to do that. But then he poured out how upset he was about the whole situation, and he didn't know why God couldn't, you know, see his righteousness and protect him more. And he had these three friends. And I always used to go, friends, you know, friends. If you know these three, because they was Eliphaz the Temanite, not the termite, the Temanite, the Terminator. Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite. He wasn't a short man, but he was Shuhite. And Zophar the Naamathite. These three, and I'd always go, friends, came and sat with him in his suffering for 7 days, didn't say anything because it was. And then eventually Job opened up and out came, I wish I was dead. I hate this life. It's terrible. And they like basically had a series of speeches to Job that went something like this. Job, we all know this only happens because you must be a sinner. Bad things happen to bad people. Bad things have happened to you. You must be a bad person. Own up to it. And he's like, I'm not a bad person. They're like, Job, you must be a bad person. I'm not a bad person. You're the worst person in hiding it. Why not? I'm the most perfect man, and I wish even God would come down here and I'd have a word with him about it. And that's sort of how it evolved into this, like, heated discussion. And then at the end, a guy called,
Oh, no, I'm just...
Just enjoying?
Yeah.
And Elihu...
Exchanging nouns and verbs is what I think.
Yeah, they're and then Elihu comes in, a young man. He has his piece to say, and he sort of thinks he's the most amazing young man and got all the wisdom. And then God steps in and he speaks, and it's like, Job's like, oh, I don't think I should have said anything. And at the end, Job says, I'm really sorry, I should have shut my mouth. And he says this most amazing statement, and there's, I'm not going to go into what I've learned in the book of Job. There's some really key things that happened. But basically, Job threw God under the bus in order to promote his own righteousness. He was willing to toss God to put himself first in the end. His righteousness was more important than God. And he tossed God under the bus to do that. God had a word with him. Job's like, I shouldn't have said anything. Job says this most amazing statement at the end, chapter 42, that he says, I heard of you by the hearing of the ear. In other words, I knew about you, but now I have seen you by my own eyes. In other words, I've come into a whole new appreciation of who you are. But then we come to this most amazing part at the end. This is what made me think about life groups and growing together. Because I always said Job's friends, you know, because they weren't really friends in my point of view. They just gave him a hard time. But you know what? They came from a distance and sat with him for 7 days. You know, and they were actually his friends, but just his friends who maybe didn't give him the best advice. How many know you can still be a friend but not give the best advice? You can be a friend and have the right advice at the wrong time. And I was showing Caleb, there's actually, Paul actually quotes one of the friends in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He quotes, just trying to see who, Eliphaz in verse 13. And so that goes to show that, hey, Eliphaz did say the right thing, but he was just saying it in the wrong context and in the wrong way. And friends can sometimes not understand exactly what you're going through and get it a bit wrong. And that's what I love about the Bible. God gives examples and talks things through and shows when things don't go right, but also when people don't get it right. You know, he has David, the most amazing king, but shows it when he fell. He has Peter, who's, you know, the rock of the church, but denying Jesus. He has, you know, he has Paul and Paul and Barnabas, the two apostles, having a fallout and splitting up. It's like, God, if I was writing the Bible, that stuff gets left out. I don't include that. That's That's giving you a bad look. It's giving you a bad name. And God's going, no, no. Hey, if I don't show you how this works when it's not working, everyone thinks it only works when it's all working perfectly. And so I became sort of looking these, I just took a look at Job's friends and what happened with Job through the eyes of, this was a group of people having a life group, all right? So they come and have life group together, and it's just not going real well. But God doesn't say the answer is no life groups. You know, because sometimes when things aren't going well, people pull away from being with people. You know, people hurt you, so no people. Churches hurt you, don't go to church. Pastors, you know, be abusive, I won't have a pastor ever again. How many know that's a way of dealing with things? Job had three friends that gave him a hard time. God didn't say, well, Job, I'm just going to take you and work with you. It's interesting, the last chapter, Job had to do something which integrated him with the life of his friends. And it's just like, God, you're really committed to how this works. Even when it's not working real well, you say, push through, because it'll get you through. In the last part of the book of Job, God takes the three friends to task and say, you did not speak well of me. See, like my friend Job did fine. I don't think he did that well. I'm like, God, I can tell you a few things Job said. And he's like, don't you see what Job did? Job said, I'm sorry. I shut my mouth. He says, he's fine now. You know what I mean? Job's my friend now. Back in the good books. But you guys are still in the bad books. And he said, this is how I am going to bring healing to you. You're going to bring an offering and you're going to come to my friend Job and you're going to get him to pray for you. God made the healing come through the relationships. God didn't deal with them directly. He made them work it through as a family, as a friendship. And I think that's why God gets us into groups, because often what he's wanting to work in us, he works through the body. Now, I would have said the way to do that is have these amazing friends that only give the wisdom of God and walk in the prophetic and all the rest. Well, Job had three friends that really missed it, but God still was able to work through that situation because of Job's heart and desire. But the most amazing thing to me was, now Job at this stage is still sick and has had all his wealth gone and destroyed. So he is in a bad place. He hasn't been restored, and they're being told to come to him and pray. And then it says, verse 10, the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends. God used that process to actually bring Job's healing and restoration to him. He actually used the situation, which was such a mess, when Job ministered in that situation. You know, and it's like Job could have said, I can't pray for someone else's restoration. Look at me. I'm going through this tough time. I've got this problem. I'm sick. I've got my phone. I can't help. I can't help you because I've got problems. But God said, Job, we've dealt with you. You've seen me by the seeing of your eye. That's what you've got. Do you know what I mean? I like when Peter was faced by the beggar and he'd been with Jesus. And you know, up to this point now, Jesus is gone. Now that Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, is, and he meets this beggar. And the beggar looks at him expecting money. And Peter says, I have no silver and gold. What I do have, I give to you. Now, Job, he wasn't well and he wasn't wealthy, but what he did have was God's blessing on his life. And he prayed for his friends out of that. I don't know how many people say, well, I can't do this or I can't do that because I've still got all these problems. As long as you're walking towards God and not in rebellion to him, let God use you. You do not have to be healed. I remember John Wimber, who had heart problems, seeing people healed with heart problems while he prayed for them. Often he'd say, whatever the anointing was on them, I wouldn't mind some back this way. And he actually said that, you know, he was like, God, how does this work? He said, I'm seeing people healed from heart conditions when I am struggling with a heart condition. And God's like, because that's how it works sometimes. You minister out of what you have and then you let the Lord work in your life. And it said, when Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes and doubled him twofold. When he ministered to his friends, that was the releasing of God of the twofold back. So both Job and his friends got their answers in their combined ministry to each other, not directly from God outside. That's why we are committed to the body of Christ connecting in fellowship, because that's how God chooses many times to do the work amongst us. And he doesn't choose, you know, I wish I could say, come to our life group. It's the most perfect group of people that will only say the wisest of things and the most sensitive of things. No, you might end up in a life group with Job's friends. I'm just saying, let's not oversell the fact that we're all wonderful and perfect, but God still committed to that process is the place where the life and the healing and the blessing works. And God uses that process. You know, I go into the life group to get healing, and Job says, I ended up praying for them. God says, yeah, but it was you praying for them that was going to get you your release. I think I need to go there to get. God says, you go there to give and then let it flow back. That's how it works. So that's why we're committed to these things, because I understand that's where God works amongst people. God uses people and puts them into groups and has them minister. You know, it talks about in I think it's in Colossians. Let me just quote it more accurately than I'm going to if I take a stab. It talks about the fact that the entire body being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments grows with a growth which is from God. That's Colossians 2:19. The body grows by being connected to the head, Jesus, but then each part then brings that life flow. Jesus is the head, but the life flows through the body. And each joint and ligament provides part of that life flow. And so else, I just want to be connected to you, Jesus. And Jesus said, yeah, but I have a body. And Jesus said, if you'll connect with that body, you'll find that that's where the life flows. That is my life. It's not the body's life. It's God's life, but it's flowing in that way. So I was sort of fascinated to look at the life of Job as like, you know, a terrible example of a life group, but actually Job got healed through it. They got healed through it. He got double blessing through that life group. And so that's why I'm committed to seeing us connect together so that life can be flowing.
Yeah, that's really good. And I think that's a beautiful picture of what a life group is. It's that it's obviously in Job, they didn't call it a life group, but it's the essence of friends coming together, people coming together on that journey. And life groups is simply, it's a model or a system we put in place to facilitate that and for us to do that very deliberately on purpose. And I love that picture where it's a bunch of broken people on both sides coming together and getting healed. You got Job's friends who were broken, Job who was broken, and they didn't say, when I'm healed and when I'm perfect, when it's all worked out, then we'll come together and we'll work this out and I'll pray for them. It was in their brokenness coming together and connecting that then life flowed through. I love that picture of the body, that the life all flows from the head. If the head's not connected, none of this works. Without Jesus in this, we're absolutely wasting our time.
Yeah,
but exactly. That life that Jesus brings, he loves to bring it through the ligaments and through the connections in the body. And I think in connecting and committing to a life group, there is two great benefits: that you are coming into a place to get that life from the head flowing into your life, and to be someone that life from the head can flow through into the lives of others. And if you don't, if you withdraw yourself from that, you miss out and everyone else misses out on the supply that you can bring as well.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. So so that's why we give opportunities to make those connections. You know, it can be here on Sunday, you meet friends, you meet people you. It can be hanging around the foyer. It can be in a life group where you can actually develop that over time and be with people through those sorts of situations, the ups and downs together. You know, we have a phrase, we say we do life together in life groups, all right? It's, you know, and it's, you know, that means up, down. But ultimately, it's not just about doing life together. It's about doing life together and letting the life of God flow, bringing healing, getting discipled, training and growing together, because that's what we're doing. We're discipling in that process.
Mm. Yeah, but... I was agreeing with you. That's good. Sorry. Sorry, I'll nod with my microphone behind my back.
Yeah, do you want to...
do you want to share some stories?
Yeah, we've got some different things that have come out of the life groups that, you know, have encouraged me how this has been flowing and working.
Yeah, exactly, because many of you remember, like, our life groups that we're doing now, these model life groups, we launched at the beginning of the year. And so our life groups have had one semester running, and as we said, we thought this would be a great opportunity to talk to it again as this new semester starting and new group starting. But we thought it'd be great not just to talk about the concepts in the heart, but share a couple of great stories of people inside life groups and some of what God's been doing. Some examples of seeing as real life examples. Well, the Bible is real life, sorry, but examples in the breakthrough context this year of exactly what we've been talking about. With Job's friends in that heart of life groups, people coming together with brokenness, not getting themselves all fixed up and sorted out, but coming together, connecting, and then through that place, seeing life happen. We thought we'd get a couple of people to come and share their stories, which would be encouraging and exciting to celebrate together. So do you want to start with which life group?
Sandy and...
All right, so families of faith. So Sandy and Imi, do you guys want to come? Imi, I think, looks like she can come. Why don't you give them a huge hand as they come to share here today? Maybe, Sandy, do you want to grab the microphone off the front table? I want to start by saying I really genuinely appreciate these guys coming to share today. It's a little bit intimidating, I'm sure, a little bit vulnerable, but it's part of being family, and we really appreciate it. We don't take it for granted. Sandy and Imi have both been a part of the Families of Faith life group. And Zoe's come too. Hey, Zoe. Why don't you, you give her a quiet clap so she doesn't get to. Yeah, we've lost them now. Once there's anyone under three on stage, that's all we see. Sandy and Imi have been a part of the Families of Faith life group, which I've had the pleasure of being a part of as well, led by Mark and Kirsty. We've done that life group entirely on Zoom. And have had an awesome, awesome time. I won't start talking about it too much because otherwise I'll get excited and let them talk. But Sandy, do you want to start off? Do you want to just chat to us for a minute about what your experience has been and what you found in that and what God's done in and through you?
I'll firstly start off with saying that I actually, I knew the Lord wanted me to join a life group, but I didn't want to because I'm not comfortable on Zoom. I probably feel a bit self-conscious or maybe...
Yeah, and this group is a Zoom only.
Zoom only, yeah, or self-centred, whatever it is. But I knew in my heart the Lord wanted me to join, so I did. And, and so it's just been amazing with Caleb, Kyra and Mark and Kirsty. They just bring such a joy and such God's truth and such encouragement. And at one stage, then we have fun and then we have God's word, and then we break into prayer groups. And as we were breaking into a prayer group, I just felt the Lord say, I just want you to share the situation. Sorry. about what I was going through. And I didn't really want to share it because I didn't want to look broken. Do you get what I mean? I wanted to look cool and like I got it all together.
Can anyone relate to that at all? Feeling like, I don't want to look broken. I'm here to bless all the other broken people from my high and mighty spiritual place.
Yeah, I know I wasn't perfect, but I just didn't want to share it. But then Kyra said, I just want you to, even if you're vulnerable, and I knew the Lord said, I want you to share that. And so I did share it, and unbeknown to me, it was quite a few months ago when we first started Life Group, how much, I needed their prayers for that situation, because they are genuine. Everybody in that Life Group is genuine, and I can't help thinking when it's called Life Group, it's life. It's God's life in that group. And it's what you're facing on a daily day basis and the months or the weeks and the months to come that you're not even aware of. And as they prayed for the situation, Caleb actually gave me a word from the scripture because I'd grown weary. And he said, well, the scripture that comes to me is like the widow that keeps coming. Your prayers are having effect, even though sometimes you feel like they're not. And he said, don't stop. And that scripture to stay with me in the days and the weeks to come. So I continue to pray with such strength and faith because I was in that life group. I hadn't been in it. What I was facing, I really don't believe I would have continued in those prayers that were needed for that situation. And then the next one just recently, Kirsty and Mark were taking, and that very day I was actually declaring God's word into a situation. I just felt like I was up against literally a brick wall, and I thought, this is just not working. You know, I didn't say it, but I just felt it. And then Kirsty and Mark and Caleb and Kyra, Kirsty and Mark shared first about how when Sam was born, he actually turned blue, and they had to, they were in the hospital, and they chose just to pray in the spirit, and they were declaring God's word, and God was saying to me, that's what you've been doing today. Keep doing it. Keep declaring my word. It is working. And then Caleb and Kyra were sharing just before COVID happened, they actually went overseas, and the Lord really challenged them to, they had such a lot of savings, but he asked them to sow it. And it sounds easy now because we can see the end result, but they did sow it, and after they sowed it, God miraculously so provided for them in such ways that was just so encouraging to hear their story. It was just amazing. So what I would like to say is I really encourage you not only to join a life group, but you actually need to be in a life group because of what the days ahead that we are walking in. I'm not talking doom and gloom, but it's just such an encouragement, even to be an encouragement to somebody else in that life group, because they're such genuine people and really anointed and spirit-filled. So, yeah.
Oh, thank you, Sandy. Wait for your hands there. Thank you. We appreciate you sharing that stuff. That's so cool. And, Amy, do you want to follow straight on from that? Because I know part of what you're going to share was similar to what Sandy was sharing at the end about all of sharing our stories together. But what, yeah, what's your experience been and what would you like to share?
Well, first of all, I completely agree with what Sandy said. That just resonates with me a lot. But one thing is, we've been going through the Life of Faith book by Jerry Saville, and one thing that's we've been doing is sharing each other's testimonies with each other, and it's been very encouraging, like remembering back of things that God has done for us, and remembering the faithfulness of God. And it's encouraging to remember that, like, build faith into think challenges that we're going through and visions that we've got for the future. Mm-hmm. And also I really like the connection with other believers, and we've been praying for one another's visions and challenges, mm-hmm. Like as if they're our own, which is very encouraging. And like I've had things that I've been going through for years, and like I don't really share them with other people. And then just this week I just felt God say, no, why don't you share that trouble with the life group? And so I've actually got other people on board, and that encourages me to actually pray for the situation rather than just wishing it would change. And so, yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, that's so cool. Put your hands together. Thank you so much, guys, for sharing that. I so appreciate that. And, being part of that group, it has been so awesome. The last meeting we had in June, everyone sort of shared testimonies of what God's done in our lives in times past. And it was one of the most faith-building, exciting times. Like, I came away, and I feel like as soon as we finished, the chat feed was filling up with people just being like, I'm so full of faith and so excited. I literally know it's like, yeah, you bring on anything right now. I feel so fired up and full of faith. You
bite the back of the chair.
Yeah. it was so, so encouraging. And it's been absolutely amazing for me. Like these are all people, most of them I've known for many years, but to be able to connect in that way, and like Amy said, you know, things that each of us are believing for and praying for, and, you know, we've got, Kai and I have our, up in the bathroom, things that we're believing for, but to be able to, to put up the things that others are believing for and to be praying for them and declaring them every day and knowing that they're doing the same for us, and finding things that, hey, we're believing for this. And you know what? There's three other families here we're connecting with believing for the same thing. So every time I declare and pray for our home, I'm praying for, you know, James and Amy and Rich and Nicole and Mark and Kirsty and everyone else. It's faith building and exciting. So I really, really love that. That's so cool. So I just got a mention at the back too, on live stream right now, so I can see the comments here on this screen. Richard's actually on. So Richard and Nicole have moved to, I can't remember exactly where.
Well, the Shepparton area.
Shepparton area. But they've been still be able to connect with this life group via Zoom. And Richard's just commenting out saying how this same group has been such a blessing to me and my family. We've been moving house, moving to another state. This group kept us encouraged and continued to speak into us all the way through. It's been amazing and strengthening their faith. So that's so cool. Someone who's not even here in the room is able to test that. So thank you. That's really cool. Yeah. Did you want to get Jay?
No, I reckon we'll keep that to next week. Because right, I think there's been a lot of good things here, and I'd like that to...
There you go. So next week, same bat time, same bat channel. We'll be back, and we're going to hear more about what God's been doing in one of the other life groups.
I just thought it'd be if you say, oh, how can I become part of a life group? It sort of segues into something that we've announced that with the logo. There's also other things been happening that been.
Yeah.
Things. So maybe we just spent just a couple of minutes. I'm just sensitive to the time.
No, totally. That's good. Let's do that. So if you would hear this and you say, you know what, I'd like to be a part of a life group, I think that would be excellent. We would love you to connect in so that you get that life flowing into you and others get that life flowing through you as well. If you'd like to explore that further, we're also really excited to announce this week that you can do that on our brand new church website. We've got a new website which has launched this week, we've got some photos up there of it. You know, you might be like, oh yeah, cool, the church has got a new website. This is like years and years of work and stuff in the making. So it has been, it's really, really exciting for us. You know, it's exciting to have something like a new website. It's exciting because it's like, oh yeah, you've got a new website, new logo, it looks pretty, it's all cool. I am so, so excited about this because... this website is all about creating pathways that whoever you are, how you can connect in with the Breakthrough family and what God's doing.
It's effectively three websites in one.
Yeah, we've effectively built three sites in one. If you leave this site up for us, one of the first things you'll see on our homepage is let's tailor your experience. You say, I'm new here, I want to get connected, or I'm already part of the Breakthrough family. And so wherever you're at in your journey, whoever you are, you can go there and find a bunch of content tailored specifically for you. There's pathways for people to learn more about Jesus, who he is, what it means to connect with Jesus.
Yeah, you can direct your unsaved family here or friends to here. If they click, I'm new here, the website is built for someone who's not in church. So it answers questions. It asks about Jesus, you know, how can I trust God? Is the Bible reliable? You know, it sort of looks at life through that perspective, so that someone can come into it and it's just what they need to hear. So it works for them. And then, Caleb, sorry, I jumped in there.
No, that's the right. Yeah, I just want to say when you were talking, I was just nodding, but that's totally cool. You jumped in.
Yeah.
I'm not worried at all. No concerns.
But when I was talking, I was saying everything right. I thought I just needed to hear that little bit that you hadn't said.
One day I might be the pastor and I'll put you in your place.
You said that out loud, Caleb.
Oh, did I? I'm so sorry. I hope I didn't say the other things I was thinking earlier out loud because probably would have cut the service. I have no idea what I was talking about anyway.
I want to get connected.
Yeah, I want to get connected. So if you want to find ways that you can connect it and plug into Life at Breakthrough and what's happening.
So if you people, if you got friends that are maybe Christians or... they're looking for a church. They're not going to a church. They're looking for a place. You can direct them to this same website because if they go to that section, it'll be a really great area for them.
Yeah, exactly. And finally, if you're already part of the Breakthrough family, so for a lot of people here, there's more content there for you. There's ways and pathways to make it really easy for you to connect with life groups. You can explore. I'm not sure if we have a snapshot of the life groups page up there.
No,
But you can easily just click on life groups. Have a look, have a read about what each of the life groups are doing, what they're studying, just jump on.
And you can join through that.
You can join through the website straight away. It'll take you about 5 seconds. So it's really, really simple and easy to do. Other ways you want to get connected, if you want to actually join Team Breakthrough, our amazing team who are serving God together, being the body and seeing what God can do through us, again, you can jump on there straight away. You can enter that pathway immediately. You can obviously do other things, listen to sermons, find out more information about events.
Our sermons are now grouped into series, so you can go back and watch a previous series, and all the sermons are all linked there, so it makes it much easier to flow and to listen to past material.
Exactly. So I would highly recommend go and check it out for two reasons. One, go and check it out and find where you can connect, what God's put in your heart for where you can connect and get plugged into life, whether that's life groups, Team Breakthrough, other areas of Breakthrough Church, and say, God, what's my step to connect into the Breakthrough family and do that? And secondly, use it as a tool to connect to people. It's not a website that just says, oh, look at us at Breakthrough, right? It's a website that has information about how to follow Jesus. And it says, if you're new, this is why we do what we do. Learn about Jesus. Learn what it means to follow Jesus. And then invitations to come to church and to connect in with what God's doing. So I would highly encourage you. I would exhort you. Check it out. Say, God, what are my steps? What am I connecting with? And how can I use this to share you with others? And we've made it as a tool and a resource for you to be able to share.
One thing we haven't said, where is our website? For anyone watching online, because I realize...
It is on the internet. So you can access it via this handy-dandy...
This spot will be vacant. If there's anyone else would like to apply for this, the secondary chair role.
Actually, funny you should mention that, because next week, I believe, actually, I'll be up here again speaking, but this chair will be vacant. Is that right?
Yes.
The Lord has vindicated me. That's true. That's a little plug. I'm going to be preaching next week, so bring all your friends, because we'll finally have some decent word around here. Sorry, it's just ending.
You better tell him, better preach well, because it'll be his one chance for a long time.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be a series.
Yeah, you better get it all out there, right?
You can find our website at breakthrough.org.au. It's on the screen behind me. Over the coming weeks, we'll actually be getting some extra signage and stuff printed to go up, in the foyer and even on the seat backs and stuff to guide people to these pathways and stuff. But everything you can find at breakthrough.org.au, and you can explore it there and find that. I've got a question that's coming from the back as well. How long do you have to be coming to Breakthrough to be allowed in a life group? There's no time.
You're just going to be willing to grow together with people.
Yeah. If you are, life groups are a place where, like we said, to connect with people who love to grow with you. If you want to grow and have Jesus' life flow into you and through you to others, life groups are the place for you. So doesn't matter how long at all. So, discover that, breakthrough.org.au. Check that out. Have a look. Find where you can explore. Share that with others. To finish off, is there anything else you wanted to share on that one?
No.
Are you sure?
No. Depends what you say with finish off, though.
Well, I was going to say to finish off, I thought we could highlight the step of partnership and then share that. One of the steps you'll find when you go onto the website, one of the ways that you can connected with Breakthrough Church is actually what we call partnering with the church. Now, in the past, churches would use a phrase like become a church member or something like that. The phrase we like to use at Breakthrough is partnership, because that's how we see it. When you become a part of the Breakthrough family, you say, I'm partnering with Breakthrough. I'm partnering with the mission at Breakthrough, and Breakthrough, which is this family, is partnering with my life, and together we're discipling together. If you want to actually do that process, you can do it online on our website.
On the website.
How easy is that? Breakthrough.org.au. Pastor Peter and I have been working for quite a while putting together it's just sort of a simple interactive online course. It takes you sort of 30 to 40 minutes to complete, so it's not particularly long or exhausting, but it's interactive and it's fun. And in that, we share the heart and mission of Breakthrough in some really good depth. It's all like really short, bite-sized, interactive lessons where you can learn really good depth about Breakthrough, what our mission is, what we're called to do, how you can partner with that, how we can partner together. And if you complete that course, because that's you saying, you know what, I really want to actually partner with Breakthrough. I want to make it official. I don't want to just come along on a Sunday or come along to a life group. I want to make it official and say, Breakthrough is my church. I'm part of the Breakthrough family. You can do that. That invitation is there. And then each month, anyone who partners with Breakthrough through that pathway, we will actually welcome you into the Breakthrough family and have prayer for you. So we thought it would be great to segue into that today because Priscilla has officially become a partner with Breakthrough as of this month. So put your hands together for her. She has gone through and completed this course. So she's got her certificate there.
You can come up.
Ah, yeah. And maybe you'll get a handshake from the pastor. None of us get that.
Yeah. Often I have to stand at the front door to do this, but you can get it here. Well done.
I'm getting serious.
Here's the camera. There is actually a camera. Here, let's do this. Yeah. Feel like a politician now.
Yeah. I'm getting serious vibes of going to Jay's graduation last year and seeing 2,000 people go and shake Steve Brack's hand as he walked past and smile. Imagine that. Just shake hands, smile for photos for hours and hours on end. Thank the Lord the cricket was on, so I had something to watch while it was happening. we would love to actually pray and welcome Priscilla into the Breakthrough family.
Yeah.
Put your hands together. Joke aside, that is a really, really cool step. We are excited for all that means because partnering is about connecting as the body, that life of God, can flow through this body into Priscilla and can flow through Priscilla into this body and into this eastern region and this community. It's a significant thing. We're really excited. We are so excited to have you, Priscilla. As a church family, we love you. You're part of our family and we're excited for all God's got in store for you.
And the partnership involves making three commitments. The church, as Breakthrough, as us as a people, we make three commitments to Priscilla, and Priscilla makes three commitments to us because this has gone beyond, just the casual, yeah. It's like, I'm actually committing. That's how friendships develop and covenant works. You actually make a commitment to. And so if you want to know what those three commitments are, just go on to the website and do the partnership. And we walk through why we actually make these commitments. They're really close to my heart, and God's, this has been through a lot of prayer and waiting on God. And I'm so thrilled that Priscilla has made this commitment, and we make the same commitment back to you, to do the things that are here. So if I want you to stand, can you stretch forth your hand?
Can we? Why don't you come out of the front? Let's get some of the. This is about joining the family. So why don't some of the family come and gather around pre? And we're going to
Chris, come and join us here.
We're going to pray together. So anyone who wants to, that doesn't have to be just the young adults. Anyone who wants to, let's gather around and let's pray together. And pray for Priscilla. So, Dad, why don't you do that?
Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for, Lord, the joy of doing the life of following you together. I thank you that we can make those connections and grow and bring our giftings that you've put in our lives, connected with the body. And, Lord, see the fruitfulness of that. And Lord, do things that bring you glory and bring you honor. And we're just so glad. We're so thrilled to have Priscilla join with us. Lord, we bless her. Father, we thank you for the anointing of Breakthrough to be heavy upon her. Lord, life. Lord, I thank you there's an anointing to see breakthroughs here. And I thank you we declare Priscilla will be a bringer of breakthroughs. Life, Lord, wherever she goes, Lord, she would see the enemy's, Lord, walls pulled down and she would see Jesus glorified. She would connect with the body and, Lord, it would make... She would thrive in that in Jesus' name. She would find her giftings fulfilled and free in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's really good.
And Priscilla gets to keep the...
Oh, that's so cool. I love what Dad prayed there. At Breakthrough, our church is named Breakthrough. And that's not just our name. That's an anointing that God's given us. And we really believe as you come into partnership with the Breakthrough family, there's an anointing that, not because we're special, but because you're saying, God, I'm partnering with something where that's the anointing that you put there. And so pray we're believing that for you and everyone else who joins it. There's an anointing to see Breakthrough in your life and through your life into your world, the world around you. So, that's really cool.
Amen.